The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh new music, smart talk all day. KB will always be fresh to me, and not in the sense that you're thinking. I mean, KB, I think, will always have that skill, that wit of applying the double entendre most effectively, right? But his music will always be fresh to me. It's always like contemporary, and even the old stuff, even the older stuff, right? It's always fresh to me. But I'm a Bahamian, and I like things, and I like traveling. And so we're going to start the show by reminding you about the Guardian Media Group Cruise Giveaway Promotion. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you on a sunday cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Four, make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags. Get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare taxes and gratuities not included. I have joining me in studio Mr. C.A. Nuri this morning. I wanted to talk about, to start the show, I got a couple of topics on the table. The Trump-pushed policy to revoke Harvard's participation in the Student Exchange and Visitor Program. So the Student Exchange and Visitor Program is the program that enables universities in the United States of America to enroll international students. If you grab a copy of today's Tribune headline, students in U.S. to be vigilant. Jones says government is monitoring situations at American colleges. So I want to talk about that a bit here, the questions I have on the table. How many Bahamians are affected by the decision to revoke Harvard's participation in the Student Exchange and Visitor Program? I know that we have a young man by the name of Aiden Hanna, who has been accepted into the Ivy League school, and so we await clarification on what's to happen next. So how many Bahamians are affected by the decision? Are they current students? Are they incoming students? Is there any circumstance where a Bahamian student could be exempted? Is it likely the policy will extend to lecturers and professors? Is it likely the policy will extend or the revocation of the of participation in the student exchange and visitor program will extend to other Ivy League schools and potentially to other schools in the U.S.? And is it likely that the policy decision would be made or extended vis-a-vis or in reference to maintaining, quote-unquote, an advantage for American student athletes, right? Where will Bahamian students go if not the United States? And Mr. Nuri, I don't know, for me, perhaps this is the more exciting part of the conversation. Can you be take advantage of this opportunity? Mm. Right? Is it possible for the Bahamas broadly, UB specifically, to create an opportunity out of this instance? Is it possible for us to build local capacity to attract Harvard to the Bahamas to run programs here that are quote unquote international student heavy? Right? This question on the table. Can UB host a satellite Harvard campus? Can the Bahamas host a satellite Harvard campus? So those are questions I have on the table. You familiar with the discussion, Mr. Nuri?
I'm familiar with the discussion. I'm analyzing your suggestion about the University of the Bahamas taking advantage of the opportunity. And all opportunity is good, right? And mm-hmm. and that's for the admission management of UB to take advantage of the opportunity in general. I'm just seeing or questioning whether Harvard would want that. Their goal is to make X foreign students to come there on campus to get the money. And this is a middleman type concept where money is now being diverted from their cashiers.
Okay. All right. So not necessarily to bring the expats there, but that's definitely a part of it, right? I found some really interesting articles on it. Federal judge blocks Trump administration from barring foreign student enrollment at Harvard. That's AP. Trump bans on Harvard foreign students may come at a hefty price to the economy. That's The Hill. And then from USA Today, Trump says he wants names of countries, right? Mm-hmm. But in there, you know, they talk about like making America great and how that's been done traditionally by attracting the best talent from throughout the world to American institutions, right? In an American space to generate innovation, right? Whether TED thought, whatever. But does it have to be Harvard in the US for that same formula to work? Right? Like for Harvard, being in the US is a part of it, but it's about bringing the thought leaders and the innovators, the young and new bright and radical thinkers into a space. That space could be curated anywhere, eh? Mm. And I'm thinking in this instance, the space could be curated anywhere. And if it's curated carefully, you could replicate the elements that you find in America, and you could add new and invigorating and more exciting and radical elements being in the Bahamas.
I guess.
Okay, got a text here that says, I appreciate the concept and the discussion, but ultra-rich Harvard students, same as for Silicon Valley, are not coming to utility-challenged Bahamas. How has your BTC and the live service been over the past 3 months? My BTC service has been horrible, texter.
I'm not sure if places like Albany, places like Lifeaki, have issue with light. They have an alternative generator.
Right.
That money doesn't make them see the problems that we face in all New Providence proper.
Right. So Tech said that is definitely an issue, but we have models to show us that the issue is solvable, right? That part of the issue is solvable. But like, look at the space called South Ocean. I don't know how many people remember South Ocean, because every once in a while I forget it exists. But those said that southern part of New Providence. Is this a sufficient incentive? And producer, let's prep the phone line. Is this a sufficient incentive to drive a sustained expansion of utility services? We're talking about Harvard. People get impressed by Harvard. Harvard may motivate people.
I find that whenever foreign development happens in the Bahamas, I'm talking about New Providence right now, Providence proper, the mainstream Bahamians is always at a deficit. We make room for whatever development coming on. They make room for them. So if a Harvard come here, we'll make room for them, but not deficit.
The question is, in that process, will there be room for Bahamians?
Yes.
I got you. I won't go back to that. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to both of you. Good morning to the wide of Bahamas, Seattle and Johnson.
Morning.
I want to answer that question, right? Mm-hmm. And please bear with me because it may insert a form of political intrigue. But before I go to that, 52 asked a question, and Ms. Matt from
Aubrey from Org.
From Org, right? He asked a question. Just let me quickly touch on that first. The Bahamas has been going through a digitization program since 2018 with a loan of $30 million. One of the questions that I've been trying to find out is some of the things that 52 mentioned is concerning the digitization and data protection protection that is there, right, where you protect data, have access to data, all of these different things. I have not been able to get it. So that itself mm-hmm. is freedom of information concerning the collection of data, where it's going to be put away, how it's going to be done, what's going to protect it, what for modification, how do we keep record, how do we sign an international agreement to give us access to members of parliament who keep emails not on the system. And so all of this has to be part of a wider conversation when we move to what we generally refer to as freedom of information, transparency, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that's a broader conversation. But let's move to what you talk about for education. And just let me say that the next administration is looking at this as a potential. Every single year, 250,000 to 280,000 individuals is denied a student visa into the Bahamas. First, we can fix the defect that is necessary for this one with a proper data regime, which these universities and other people would want, and the infrastructural process can be fixed more so for Grand Bahama that has the ability to do this. What do you mean by this? And it's estimated that in, I think, like 2003, from the last time I did something similar, it's about $7.5 to $8 billion a year in lost tuition and living expenses is missed out by the USD students would pay.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you set up an education, an integrated education platform, and just let me give a plug for my wife because she did a paper on this and she wrote about this in your paper, I think like a week or two ago, Eden Mary Johnson,
mm-hmm.
That you would put an education system on Grand Bahama and it would be a fully digital education system, meaning like how you go have classrooms, like how you go to the movie theaters, or you have, I don't know if you've been on campus where you move from class to class, or even in you go to these meetings where you have these in the hotels, and it has a room, such and such rooms, whatever. You have these different classrooms for students who can't make it into the U.S. because they don't meet the income requirements or whatever mm-hmm. else. We don't have that issue so far. But what happens is they would attend universities digitally, multiple universities, all of the major ones in the U.S., and just in the same way they did, they do virtual learning or whatever you want to use the definition, when you reach a certain capacity for tests and everything else, there people will come here to make sure to issue it. But they would attend these classes, say, going to room 10 for Florida Memorial University, science class, such and such, with Dr. whoever teaching. So what happens is you have this educational thing, but what it does, it begins to have a gateway that you have tens of thousands of individuals that creates almost a college town, and Bahamians in agreement would be able to attend university free of charge if necessary for these universities. And it becomes a digitally immersed education destination. And so when you tie this into the other types of things that we like to talk about, but it requires forward thinking, a policy paper to be put forward.
Without a doubt. Thank you.
Weakness and even the SWOT and the PESTELs. And so this is what requires leadership that's capable of doing these things.
I got you.
Just talking about it. Thank you so much.
No, man. Listen, thank you, C. Allen. So you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you, right, is like the economic impact of the policy on Harvard and then on the U.S. more broadly, right? From the article by The Hill, Trump's ban on Harvard foreign students may come at a hefty price to the economy. The article says, not only are Harvard students top innovators in the country, for every three international students, one job was created in the U.S., right? So for every international student in the U.S., one job was created, according to NAFSA, and that's the Association of International Educators. They say in the 2024-2025 academic year, 27% of Harvard students, or some 6,800 students, were international students, right?
100%?
27%.
Okay, 30%.
International students.
See, mind you, I hear all of the numbers, right? But there are other schools. But see, now I'm not saying what Trump is doing is right, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that what is happening in America with the President of the United States and Harvard, it's politics. So when you're putting these numbers in, oh, you being a detriment to the United States, it's not necessary.
You see that it's politics.
It's just politics, semantics back and forth. Because if these international students wanted to be educated to an Ivy League school, they have other schools and other choices.
So, hold on, listen to this. I hear you.
And in all the seams, statistics will apply.
According to NAFSA data, international students at Harvard contribute approximately $383.6 million annually to the area's economy, supporting around 3,900 jobs, just over 3,900 jobs, right? So, like, I appreciate what you're saying. There are other schools.
And then
there are other places to go. But what about that economy right there?
And if the thing is, they have all other different economy. And we want to know if this money trickles down to the wider economy. See, Harvard's an elite school. Their economy is different from the state. That money.
So you're saying they're working class people is our upper middle class people.
No, they're working class people is our rich. Ain't no upper middle class. It's our rich.
But okay, so back to the question: what if the policy extends to other Ivy League schools? And then what if it extends beyond that, right?
Then it'll be a problem.
Trump just had the NFL signing in the White House, right? He just had a big major league sports signing in the White House. What if a Trump administration decides that the same policy essentially will be applied to advantage American student athletes, right? With the same thinking that you're giving foreign students opportunities that American students should have, and those foreign students are excelling beyond the U.S. and disadvantaging the U.S.
When I talk about American politics, I was trying to make it local.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's make it local.
Yeah, man.
There are a number of scholarships here in the Bahamas just only Bahamians could apply for. And when I say only Bahamians, I mean people with Bahamian citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
There are people born in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spent 17 years here in the school system, go to the public schools, graduate the top of their class, smartest one in the class, who do not have access to the Bahamian scholarship. Why? Because the scholarship is made for Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
People with Bahamian citizenship, right?
Yeah.
I think that concept is what Trump is trying to say. These are for Americans, not international students.
But I mean, technically, that's not...
No, I know
what he's saying.
I'm not different semantic. I just said I'm trying to Bahamianize it so I can appreciate it in a Bahamian context.
Because the response is also Bahamianized, right? Because what Trump is saying is the focus on Harvard is about what they perceive as Harvard's collusion with... I wanted to say anti-Semites, right? But Palestinians are also Semites, so the phrase doesn't quite work.
Anti-Jewish.
Right.
Mm.
He calls it anti-Semitism, that Harvard is essentially colluding with anti-Semites, right, to attack Israeli students and the Jewish state.
It seems political. Call right back to politics.
People in the Bahamas say the same thing?
Yeah.
people behind bombers will say the same thing. It's not about disadvantaging the best student. It's not about ignoring a meritocracy, right? Like, it's about stopping the flow of Haitian migrants by creating deterrence.
Yes. And should we do that?
Yeah. My question. So I got some text here. Let me get back to the text line. As a UB graduate, I can say with confidence that universities like Harvard wouldn't choose the University of the Bahamas. UB still struggles with basic issues like registering local students. The library barely stays open past 5 p.m.
That's small things,
and
though.
But that's what I'm saying. Those things.
Can you imagine Harvard give us a $300 million to correct that? And that corrected overnight?
Yeah, we can fix that.
We can fix that. That's small things.
And it lacks international accreditation. Now.
With Harvard?
With Harvard. See, that's why a partner like Harvard would look attractive to me. If I'm at the, right, if I'm at UB, will this participation help to build capacity and draw us closer to full accreditation?
We have leverage. We have a biodiverse economy in terms of marine economy, which has attracted any university around the world. A Harvard, a Oxford, a Yale would say, I want to come and set up a program just on your marine biodiversity, and we'll set it up for you.
So what
we could capitalize on that?
So watch this. Article you can find online by searching A Sustainable Future for Exuma. It's at the website gsd.harvard.edu, right? So on the Harvard platform, it's from the Harvard Graduate School of Design. And there's a multi-year ecological planning project, a collaboration among the with the government of the Bahamas, the Bahamas National Trust, and Harvard University. Right, so Harvard's already here.
Yeah, see? Mm-hmm.
Like, there are elements of this place that Harvard already sees as beneficial to their academic landscape, environment, pun intended, right? The question is, can we seize an opportunity that benefits both parties? We get to grow capacity. We grow a more intimate relationship with a reputable, longstanding institution. And some may say we reignite a longstanding relationship, right, with Harvard. And we build capacity for UB and the local academic landscape more broadly. We help Harvard deal with a particular situation, and we may be expanding programs they already have on the table.
Yes, it's possible. It all depends on leadership. And we have examples of that, right? The Island School in Eleuthera is international. We have people from around the world. Their kids come here for that.
Right.
The Whale Camp we have in Abaco here is international.
Mm-hmm.
We have students from around the world come with Bahamians to attend Whale Camp and do investigation.
Whale things.
Whatever that whale thing, you know, in the ocean. Yeah. They dive in, right? And in fact, they give a Bahamian scholarship all the time to attend the camp for a month, a week, for free, right? Access this Ivy League training.
And so we have a King's College.
Then we have a King's College.
And so when people say, okay, well, why a King's College if it doesn't appear that Bahamian students are, or a sufficient percentage of Bahamian students are benefiting directly from King's College presence in the country. Well, see, with King's College in the landscape now, you have a local partner, right, that may make you more attractive or could build your local infrastructure to support a better, a larger relationship, a greater relationship with Harvard or other Ivy League or top-notch international institutions.
Sometimes we just need one Bahamian student there. And every year we get one, that the opportunity, exposure can change the landscape.
And if we're talking about like the idea that C. Allen Johnson and his wife, he said the article is published in The Guardian very recently. What I wanted to ask him is, can Grand Bahama be a tech hub base for Harvard, right? Like they floated the idea, universities running satellite or virtual classes here, right? This becomes a site. And then the tourism aspect comes into it, right? Who of the, like the text it said, ultra rich would afford a semester in the Bahamas, a year in the Bahamas, right? To do very specific skills training. And then professional certification, right? Accompanying this sector. Can we attract industry experts here to engage in projects, right? That will attract investors and high-level students to the place. Because, see, the beauty of the Bahamas is you have all of these small pods for development, right, for mini development. You have all of these islands that essentially you can isolate from other islands in terms of trying to root and then grow a new type of culture. Whatever you do, local students, and I mean localized to the island, right, primarily, should have access to it. So if you run in a school on this island, these students who qualify, who hit the criteria, should have automatic access to the school to participate, right? At some level, it doesn't matter. At some level, you're going to provide access and opportunities for Bahamians to learn. Yeah? I think it could work. Here's another text. Freeport is a tech hub with our third world power and generation, really. See, now this is why I talked about pods. For the purpose of this project, right, you are developing a power system for that island and that project, right? That's why, because you don't have to fix the power generation in the entire archipelago for a tech hub in Grand Bahama to work. You start there, and then you make, say, simultaneous enhancements as you go through the islands, right? So that they at least could connect. No, you know, you keep people connected with the advancement of tech in Grand Bahama.
With Skylink, we could do this overnight.
Starlink. Yeah, Skylink is the corner. No Skylink.
Okay, Starlink. With Starlink, I think we could do this overnight. It's something easy. What the texter is complaining about can be fixed with a policy decision.
Yeah. Those are obvious problems, texter, you're correct. Those problems are easier to solve than some of the other problems. And so another texter says, King's College caters to expats who are trapped here who want some exclusivity. No, not necessarily.
I like the word trap. When they have options. At times, this is the best place they have ever been in their lives. Say, this is paradise. This is perfect. No crime, no violence, continuity with electricity, no political upheaval. Saying, this is better than the United States, and they say, trap here.
Yeah.
This is paradise for many expats. Never seen as good as this, ever.
I'm telling you.
Let them be English and European in their small houses. Yeah, they're small apartments. They have a whole 3-bedroom bigger than their whole house. Right. The bathroom bigger than their whole house.
Like the sidewalks on Village Road. Mm. The only people who appreciate the sidewalks on Village Road more than me are expats who come from countries where they may have been living in extremely dense populations. Right? So you're talking to China and India. People come here and they see sidewalks with nobody on it.
Mm.
And they use them.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk to the beach. And they walk as recreation. You know, they walk as therapy. They enjoy outside. They value the sidewalks. And perhaps it is the injection of some cultural attributes or aspects like that may be sufficient to make shifts. The Texas said, yeah, many of the expats are from trailer parks. And I can take that term trailer parks like as a broad term to describe a standard of living.
And see the text of Chester in cheek and tongue.
Yeah.
The expats would we import tends to be some of the best people around the world. That's why we import them.
Yeah.
They have the skills. And
oh, yeah, they're talented.
That we do not have. So trailer park or not, these are educated people that we attract into the Bahamas because we have a deficit here in terms of that skill.
And then they say, like...
So there's no need to diminish them.
Right. Let's talk about multi-story high-rises, right? Like living in apartments. Our standard of living here is very high, extremely high.
Bahamians want to have their own house and their own land and have 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms.
Well,
whereas in Europe, that's not even an option for them.
Right, and they understand that.
The
space is just too limited, right? But it's become cultural as well, right? You're not a man until you turn your own key, right? You can't be woman if you live in a house with another woman, right? And these dictate how we live. You have to have your own house. You have to have your own yard. In some instances, many people realize that the police don't respect them. Like the only place where they have this sort of degree of autonomy is in their own home, you know? And so culturally, these things are sort of different. And I see people come in here and they don't ever leave. I've lived in England.
I have expats who never leave. This is the best country they ever, especially those people from like New York, Boston. Not necessarily, but definitely.
But highly dense places.
Inside them small apartments, and they could come to the Bahamas and make the same amount of money they were making in New York without all of that American culture. And they live as expats inside the Bahamas. This is the ideal place to live.
And again, back to your point, producer, let's prep the caller. Back to your point about not denigrating people, right? Using the term trailer park. We know what you're trying to say, Texter. At least I hope you know what you're trying to say. Is that decent people, like they're not decent people, but the conditions that people are expected to live in other countries are different from what we expect to live in, right? We don't care how poor we are. We have a standard of living that we think everybody should have access to. Let's go to the caller. Oh, yeah, let's go to the caller dead quick. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning. I think I have the wrong number.
Oh, you don't. Would you like to talk about Harvard and Bahamian education?
Call it going.
He definitely had the wrong number.
See, King's College, using that for example, is in almost every high-end country, but it's also in Kenya. It's also in South Africa. It's also in parts of Europe. Right, our standard of living tends to be higher than most of these places in terms of quality of life, the beach. Access, stability of government and governance in general. So I can see why they're attracted to come here and say, I'm going to establish a brand here instead of Bahamas. Because this is, when contrasted to the other places they have their countries, their schools in.
And how expensive it is to access the spaces that they could easily access
and
here
then to
in the
protect
Bahamas.
The environment where they are. Right? Yeah. There's no need to protect the environment here in the Bahamas. You know, you pull up a wall. There's no need to have additional security and barbed wire.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like personal security and property security.
Yeah, you know, come to the Bahamas, man. You don't have to worry about your children coming out of the gate. You know, they go on the beach by themselves. And, you know, you have enough money to have their own boat to go to any family island and come back at the same day. You know, you don't have to have an army escort going to these places.
And I think for many Bahamians, the quality of life that they're experiencing in part is because they did not grasp, glean, or were not taught, given the opportunity to really learn what's available to them and how they could manage the resources that they do have access to, right, that they can generate on their own. As a bit of it is cultural, like cultural imperialism. Like we think we live in the States, but we're not. We really live in here. But we're applying American concepts and principles. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting conversation because we have a relationship with Harvard. Of course, we have the young Aiden Hanna, who is, I think, you know, currently waiting for clarity on the way forward. You know, what's next? In my reading last night, the revocation of the visa program does not mean that international students who have to leave Harvard have to go home. Mm. I think they can apply to attend another university, but how does that impact people that are on the cusp of graduation? Mm. Like they're getting ready to graduate tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? I think the economic impact is interesting for the Bahamas as well, for us to decide. Because, okay, so what if the U.S. visa policy extends to other Ivy League schools? Mm. Does that create an opportunity for the University of the Bahamas to receive Caribbean students? Can we build an academic center here that's attractive to Caribbean students who have difficulty getting into the U.S. for tertiary education, right? I think that's interesting. And the economic impact, international students pay more in fees to start with, right? And then what else do they contribute to the economy? I think it's interesting and given that there's already a relationship with the Harvard Graduate School of Design in the ecosphere, I don't think we should discount the possibility or potential of growing this relationship with Harvard. A relationship, Nuri, now you're the historian. Before we go to a break and transition, and I got a couple more texts before we follow up. This is what AI told me last night.
You remember the wood they got from the Bahamas to make the library doors?
That's one of the, see, now that story I didn't find. Let me tell you which one I did. What I did find, right? It says it goes all the way back to the early settlement of the islands by the Lutheran adventurers. Mm-hmm. These early settlers seeking religious freedom faced food shortages and sought help from the Massachusetts Bay Colony, according to a Bahamian website. And I can list the sources for the AI overview. In return, they shipped Brazil wood to the colonies, some of which was used to purchase land for Harvard University.
Brasilita wood?
Brasilita?
Yeah. To. But, yeah, Lutheran Adventures, when a William Sales boat shipwreck, and he had to sail to West Virginia. And in exchange for supplies, he took the Brasilita wood, and they built the library. The door is still there.
Now, this article says that it was used to purchase land.
No, they always had land, but go ahead.
For Harvard. But that's why I wanted to ask you, because I knew the door story, but I didn't see it documented. And here are some of the sources. Here are the sources that the AI overview used. Bahamas, Harvard Worldwide, that's worldwide.harvard.edu. The Harvard Eleuthera Connection and a Mystery Barrel, that's a story, and that's in harvardmagazine.com.
Okay.
Guardian story from Ellen Coakley High School to Harvard, and that's a story about Pablo Smith, 16, a member of Ellen Coakley High School. He was class of 2024. Mm-hmm. Bailey Blair talks to Barifa. Blair, at the time, was an economics professor at Harvard University. Is he still?
Last time I taught, when he came to the Bahamas, he was.
I think so, yeah. He's still there. And, of course, Aidan Hanna, who is headed to Harvard University. And we all, Aidan, we all sitting with you. Don't watch nothing. We all with you, waiting to see how the situation clears up. And then, of course...
What about the gentleman who got the scholarship from, let's see, Luthera? Was it Luthera the other day? Like 2 days, 3 years ago? He got, like, a perfect on his
head. Wasn't that last year?
No, last year.
I think last year.
Separate person.
Not Hannah. Someone separate from Hannah.
I couldn't find it.
I searched about 4 or 5 times. I tried to use different keywords to pull up information. But this is what I found. So Harvard and the Bahamas have a long-standing relationship with Harvard researchers and students engaging with the country. Pablo Smith, Bahamian scholar, Peter Blair. Ongoing research, Harvard continues to conduct research in the Bahamas, particularly through programs like the one focusing on sustainable development in Exuma. That's the Graduate School of Design. It was just very, very interesting relationship. And so not just the historic relationship, but is it an opportunity for us to grow?
And we need to record a proper narrative too.
All right.
And then make sure it's disseminated that all Bahamians are aware of the narrative and the connection, that they can appreciate the relationship so we have better conversations.
All right. So the texter says, man, CA, you have to be real, but by extension, I have to be real from the texter, right? Mm-hmm. When the children of colonial masters or oligarchs need a place to send their children, they rely on IB schools like the school you mentioned. That's why they are here. I want to ask, how many Bahamian oligarchs are sending their kids to...
Apparently a good amount of numbers. We saw King's College has a number of Bahamians who sending their children there. And then the International Baccalaureate School, we have about 4 or 5 of them now.
Okay.
In the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Right?
So not just St. Andrews anymore?
Not just St. Andrews anymore. You know?
Okay.
There's a number of schools that does it. You
know? All right.
And now King's College is the newer one, right? With their connection, global connection, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to be the first person to tell you that there is an academic apartheid in the Bahamas.
I'm the first person to tell you that.
The question is, can we shift this landscape by building more strategic partnerships, right, with top-notch institutions? Can we get a little reparations, right, by working with organizations and entities like Ivy League schools to create greater access or better access to quality educational experiences. Not just education. I'm not dissing teachers, right? Like I said, I'm not dissing teachers, but educational experiences are broader than just the teacher teaching.
I like to mention here that when I was growing up, I had like 1 or 2 acquaintance friends who attended St. Andrews, right? Attended Life of Key. They were in between, but their parents had money. This is that local oligarchy who had money. Now, in this system, this dispensation, there are scores of Bohemians with no money who attend in school like Albany. What a school in Albany. Windsor College, who attend in Lifeski School, attend in St. Andrew's School, all on scholarship, all have opportunities. Now we have inner city children, right? Or working class children is a better word, who have an access to an education that normally they wouldn't have access to at all, right? So that's something to be appreciative of. It changes the dynamics of the Bahamas.
As a revolutionary, as a radical, right, I still have to see the value, the potential for individual lives, right, as well as the collective. If I can stop somebody who have an opportunity to give their child access to a great educational experience, right? They're different from education. We got great teachers throughout the public school system. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the environment in which they...
Access in general.
Right. So here's another text. Morning, Ms. Green. Some outlook here. The police don't respect people in their own homes. I've experienced it over the decades. This happens more with poor for sure. Now we know this because we see where it is actually visible. An officer tried to tell me that he would charge me with using obscene language in my own house. I told him I was a... I think he's saying, I told him if I was a dummy, that could work. I want to pick up that subject matter. I know why you brought it in. I know I brought it in text. I know why you texted. Let's go to a break. I got to pick Miss Nuri. You got to pick that up on another day. You saw the video circulating. I think it was in Friday's paper. A story was in Friday's Tribune about an incident within a home with immigration offices.
Yeah, I saw
that. I think we referenced it briefly on the show or maybe after the show. I concern too, because like, you know, for every 20 wonderful police officers I interact with, I buck one that's just like, hey, you know what, it's time for you to reconsider your career choice, like right now. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, there is more in the news. No new taxes. I thought this was a Dave Chappelle skit just now. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you sent.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Measles is on the rise around the world, and the Bahamas is at risk,
which makes us very vulnerable as a nation for the possible outbreak of measles cases.
Every Saturday in May from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Ministry of Health and Wellness will host MMR immunization visits in South Beach, Coconut Grove, Fox Hill, and Elizabeth Estates. Clinics in these areas will remain open until 8 p.m. twice per week. Get your child immunized now.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Did you know you could send a local bank transfer to a SanDollar wallet? It's the same as sending a transfer to an account at another local bank. Simply use the wallet's 12-digit top-up address as the account number, savings is the account type, Central Bank of the Bahamas is the bank, and SanDollar is the branch with branch code or transit number 12,000. Don't use urgent or priority delivery. Transfers to SanDollar wallets are processed through the Bahamas Automated Clearinghouse Network within one business day.
Kid Dynamite!
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. See what I tell you all about KB? KB always have fresh music, and he always got fresh music. But that's KB for you. All right, Mr. Newry, I said I wanted to talk about, let me just get into headlines. We only have about 5 minutes left. I'm going to go back to the text line. Good morning, Aaron and CA. The more Eleuthera grow, the more power outages we are getting every day. We are having power cuts. The water is not consistent, and cable goes out every day. All of this, but the bills are the same. Another thing about Eleuthera, the Haitians are outnumbering Bahamians. We have a real crisis on our hand, and the authorities are silent. Please help us. Okay, let's start with the latter first. On Eleuthera, the question is, why is it that Bahamians don't want to live on Eleuthera? Is it that Bahamians don't want to live on Eleuthera? Or is it that Bahamians who would like to live on Eleuthera or any other family island cannot figure out how to organize their lives to make that transition? Maybe they cannot guarantee sustained employment on Eleuthera, or they haven't figured it out yet, right? However, for this particular instance, I would say that there are Haitians on Eleuthera because there's development. You can find workers because you can't have development without workers. That means there are jobs. So the question is, why are these jobs not suitably or sufficiently attractive to Bahamians to come and take these jobs? Right now, people can say, well, maybe because it's menial work and I enter that menial work. But can you see a long-term goal? I mean, can you see a long-term benefit, like creating a legacy?
I'm going to say something controversial, trying to beat you at the same time.
Yeah.
There are migrants, meaning Haitians, right? There are migrants on every island except Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why there's no migrants
and maybe Miguana?
And Miguana. And the reason... And that's, yeah, the reason why there are no migrants on Long Island, because there's nothing happening on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
The Long Islands leave Long Island to come to New Providence for job, right?
Right.
And seeking opportunities right there. They're now moving people, migrants themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of development and infrastructure and growth, Spanish Wells has a separate island and support Russell Island. For that supports
for migrants to live. Housing.
Yeah, y'all live over there. Yeah. But y'all come and work
in fact,
on this side.
25 plus almost 30 years ago, you know, the talk was, yeah, the migrants, they get leave at the end of the day and go to Russell Island.
Sundown, they get head home. Yeah,
Right? But that was 20 plus years ago. I hope maybe we could continue the conversation in the second hour, because I think it ties into no new taxes, because Can you convince me that there'll be no new taxes given the state of development or the lack thereof on family islands? And we could point to specific ones like Long Island, right? Let's go back to the first part of the text quickly. Power cuts is Eleuthera. We're getting power cuts every day. Water is not consistent.
And for decades.
And cable goes out every day. But so here's the question. We know 1992, Ingram, FNM came in. Ingram revolutionized the lives of family islanders, the introduction of water and electricity, running water, electricity. That progression, that development, has that stopped? Have they regressed now is the question.
And I blame local government and the islanders in general. Because they have elections, they don't.
I blame central. No.
Go ahead.
But when you say local government, yeah. I blame central government political figures. Because we saw, as far as I'm concerned,
and I'll correct
Fred
you.
Mitchell gone down to Grand Bahama to strong arm the all the
you.
Colors is PLP colors.
They
announced the win like it was a PLP win. They have bastardized local government.
I will correct you by saying this: the central government is intentional. What is happening to the family islands is intentional. The central government is being successful. This is intentional what's happening to the family islands.
That's what I'm saying.
So
you can't
blame them when they say, but we're doing what we said we're going to do. This is success. Islanders expect something different. And they say, but I just tell you what I plan to do. And we are happy.
I appreciate what you're saying, but when you say, I just tell you what I plan to do,
what's really
being said is, you heard me say anything? You saw a specific promise in this blueprint for change that we were going to do a specific thing for you personally, right? Like, so when you say we told you what we was going to do, my thing is, so y'all didn't respond sufficiently to the lack of coherent and substantive policy statements.
That's where the family islands did it to themselves, because they didn't respond.
Yeah.
Because they should have known. They should have seen what's going to be coming. And they didn't say anything at all. And they continue to do the same thing. Election coming again. And they'll vote for how they want to vote. And there'll still be no light.
Yeah.
There'll still be no water.
That's what I want to say. This is not gloating. This is not a I told you moment.
No.
But I could be honest. I kind of suggested that this is what was going to happen. Like, this is what you should expect. Like Mr. Newry says, without any substantive action to force change. But I agree with you. We need to help y'all. That part is given. People in New Providence need to help family islanders. Now watch this. The number to call if you are a family islander, or you call in from the family islands, more importantly, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is a toll-free number for Family Island listeners. When you all hear C. Allen Johnson calling in, he calling in toll-free on 242-300-5720. Always check the phone line. The other numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. A question is, has the Davis administration taken us back to a pre-1992 family island state? Just before we go to the break, in case we transition to a new topic, Mr. Newry, here's the last text. Aaron, my family is from Long Island, and the reason why Haitians aren't on that island is because of heavy prejudice and their inability to easily fix it. Long Island is booming in fishing, CA, so something is happening.
Fishing is a secondary industry. They have to sell fish in and Azor. It's time that subsistent.
Okay, let's not call it secondary, but I appreciate what you're saying. Like, they have to sell the fish to Nassau to make money.
Spanish
but
whales.
But what if they sell, the right. Long Islanders don't sell to international markets, like Spanish whales?
No, Spanish whales have a market. I'm not sure what Long Island market is. Like, we could call restaurants that Spanish whales sell to.
But I'm talking about international markets.
Yeah, but I'm talking about international markets. I can't say the same for Long Island.
And so perhaps Long Islanders in New Providence, in the diaspora, like,
they're Nassau people now.
Yeah, but their greatest benefit to the family island could be helping to facilitate the creation of those types of economic networks.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carl, I see you on the line, but listen, that's why I'm going to beg Mr. Newry to pick this topic up on the other side of the hour. This is the end for today of On the Clock with Erin Green. Don't change that dial. Don't change your mind. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio with AM. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Oh, before we go, I have to say thank you to Miss Moss. Thank you for the box of joy. You don't know about that, eh, Mr. Newry?
No, they ain't
give
me nothing.
I can give you some.
That's okay. I like my own.
I can give you some of these juice mangoes.
I like my own.
Miss Moss. He's our jealous man.
That's Siobhan Moss, give you some?
I don't know. It could be. It was only of last name.
I like her anyway.
You guys have a great day. Special good morning to Miss Moss and Miss Siobhan Moss. I hope y'all having a wonderful day. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.